Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Cara Buono, who is going to be coming to the Bowie Bay Sox on Saturday, June 15th for a special Stranger Things night as Season 3 quickly approaches here. Cara, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the event itself, because I want to go into, you know, all of your TV credits, because you've done so many legendary shows back to back to back. But let's start with the event itself. What exactly is happening at the baseball stadium? What will you be? I assume you have something planned for on the field, or is it off the field? Autographs, first pitch. What are we doing?
Yeah. So I'm really excited to come down. There's an opportunity for a meet and greet beforehand. I know that's up on their website, and I am throwing out the first pitch of the game, which I've been practicing for.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What has the practicing been like? Like, have you ever done it in public before?
No, I mean, I have an older brother who used to pitch in, you know, Little League. So he's taken it upon himself to make sure I don't embarrass myself. And I've just been throwing the ball back and forth to him with a lot of commentary. I said, they're not going to make me, I don't think they're going to make me throw it from the pitcher's mound. Like, I can get a little closer, I think, right? I mean, I hope so, because you can't reach. So I think there was some like legendary, like pitch fail from Baba Booey from the Howard Stern show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like determined. He's like, you cannot do that. So yeah, I'm in training.
I'm sure it will do fine. And then I assume, you know, other than the first pitch, what did you say? Autographs and meet and greet kind of stuff?
Yeah. I'll be sticking around for that.
Okay, awesome. Well, the reason we're talking, of course, is because Stranger Things is coming up. I know they used to release it like around Halloween, but I think they're doing it around July 4th this year. So we're like less than a month away. I'm fired up for it. Obviously, remind our listeners, you play Karen Wheeler, who's, you know, the mother of Mike, who's like arguably the biggest protagonist, you know, in Love with Eleven, all that stuff. And then your other daughter, Nancy, you know, was Barb's friend, all that stuff. And then Holly, the youngest one. What's it been like watching those kids grow up on set? We've been watching grow up on screen, but, you know, they've grown up before your very eyes on set, and you've watched them not only grow up as kids, but as actors too. What's that been like watching them grow?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, I think about when the show started and everyone was much shorter. I mean, just from that standpoint alone, there were really little kids and all really, truly all wonderful young actors. And, you know, for me, it hurts my heart because I love, you know, I think even watching my child grow, it's sort of bittersweet because that's what happens, but it's also them becoming, you know, young adults. And it's really interesting. They've always been really confident actors and naturally gifted, and they've all been, progressing in that direction. I mean, everyone is doing such amazing work off screen, you know, in Millie's Got Godzilla coming out and Finn has got the It franchise and Goldfinch. I mean, they're all doing such amazing things.
Yeah, definitely. It's been awesome to see them continue getting more work. And it's funny. He actually, his character in It reminds me a lot of Stranger Things, and good for Millie Bobby as well. But what about you, your character, Karen? What do you like playing about her specifically the best?
Well, when I first read the script, I knew I wanted to be part of the show. I actually had kind of tracked down the Duffers after I auditioned for it because it wasn't a known quantity. It was just, you know, an audition that I had, but I really had a strong feeling about the script. And I said to them, I want to be in your show, whether it's season one or season four. I just had such a strong feeling for it. So when they offered me the role of Karen, I was just so delighted. And, you know, she has some funny things that she says with Ted. It's sort of a mystery of where they're together. And I've sort of had to figure out a way on my own to justify all how clueless Karen is, because it is part of being a parent in the 80s, where it's just kind of go out and play. And the parents don't really know what's going on. But she takes it to a whole nother level when there's like they're harboring a child in their basement for a while.
Right.
So I just made sure that I asked the props from season one to always give me a glass of wine. So I kind of justify it as like, say I'm a little bit, you know, by the end of the day, a little bit drunk. I can't really hear what's going on. I might be passed out or I kind of, you know, made it up for myself.
So that was your idea. That's really cool because that does sort of, I mean, not that that sort of gives us a little a motive of why you wouldn't hear what's going on in the basement. So that's a good addition.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that house and in the town, you know. So I think you got to have to dull my senses a little bit.
She's semi-drunk for all of it. All right, cool. Remind our listeners where we left off in season two, and you know, and whatever you're allowed to tease. For season three, maybe reminding us where we left off in season two is probably the best way to sort of tease at what's to come.
Oh gosh, so we know that. Do we know if the monster is gone? We think the Demogorgon, the doors, the portal's been closed. There's you know, for Karen, there was that intrigue with Billy. That's been a big thing for, you know, leading into season three and seeing if that's going to lead to anything. And the fact that it takes place during the summer this time, as opposed to a school year, I think is going to be really fun and different compared to the first two seasons and will lend itself to, you know, a different kind of adventure, even more freedom for the kids. Can't really say anything, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get a little bit out of you, but it's true. I also don't want to spoil the season. Well, in general, how does season three compare to, you know, because season one, we're setting the stage. Season two, you're trying to, you know, follow up on it. And then season three, you know, I guess maybe instead of specific plot specifics, just like, you know, where do you think the show is? How is it like built, you know, on the macro level? Like, did you even think it would be around for season three at the beginning? But after that, the season one was such a freaking hit.
You know, I always thought, I personally really loved the show and thought, well, at least get two seasons out of it because most good shows at least get another season. I mean, I didn't know, no one could have predicted the phenomenon that it's become. And I think in season three, I think to me, it's even more epic in a lot of ways in the scale of what's going on in the town. And there's a different kind of bigger emotional level. And, you know, I was just really excited by the scripts that I read. You know, my jaw was kind of dropping when I got to read what was going on. So I think the fans are going to be really, really pleased and surprised and wonder what's going to happen in season four.
Awesome. What do you think it is about the show, too, that allowed audiences to latch on so much and why it became such a hit? I mean, is it, for me, I love that sort of 80s nostalgia, the campy sci-fi opening theme song and credits. And there's all these elements, you know, if you grew up watching E.T. or Close Encounters or Poltergeist, all those like Spielbergian things, there's so much of that with them riding their bikes around and just all the little 80s references. Is that why you think it is, or is it more of a character development thing, or what do you think it is?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's like a perfect storm of things. I think for people who are nostalgic for that time, it really captures that period of time, and then it crosses generations. Whereas a lot of our younger fans, because I get to meet a lot of the younger fans, and I just adore them. They're so enthusiastic, and I think they just respond to the relationships among the kids. Like they've got their back, they're there, there's a camaraderie. And I think they also yearn for that kind of freedom that kids today don't have. You know, we have like scheduled play dates and everything is supervised. And there was just this like freedom to explore and be free. And I think the show really captures all of that. And then I personally believe that, you know, there's a wholesomeness to the show. Like even though it's really scary, but I feel like the wholesomeness comes from the goodness of the friendships. And I think everyone can relate to, you know, wanting to have friends like that or having a group of friends like that. And like the whole family can watch the show and get something different from it. And you can't really say that about a lot of shows. Like I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones, but you know, my daughter's not going to watch that till she's way older.
Right. Whereas you guys, you get those, you know, more fantasy elements, but also it's something that everyone can watch. So take that, Game of Thrones. before Stranger Things, we all remembered you in Mad Men, which I love that show, Dr. Faye Miller. I actually think Man, I thought I the whole time through that show, I thought you were Don Draper's best hope at happiness. I was like, you know, I was pulling for him to go with you because, you know, Betty, you know, they had already, I think they already divorced by the time you came in, but they just weren't enough alike. That was just like a fake propped up marriage to begin with, mostly due to Don's, you know, infidelity. And then Megan sort of ended up stealing him from you at the end, but she just always seemed like a little bit of a, I don't know, too much of a climber for me. So I was always pulling for you, but, and I think that my favorite episode of yours was that the beautiful girls where you go in the elevator at the end and you had to care for Sally at the office and all that stuff. But what do you agree? Do you agree with what I'm saying? Do you think you were Don's best hope there?
You know, I love playing Dr. Fay Miller. That was, I remember getting that offer and just like jumping up and down. I was so excited. And I remember Jessica Paré and I started, our first day of work was the same day and we both got our hair cut. And she went brunette and I went blonde. It was because we're opposite looking, actually. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of people were rooting for Fay to marry him, but I think it just would have been too healthy and too, you know, the kind of the right thing for him to do. And it just wouldn't be, you know, the thing that would have, he couldn't do it. It was too much of the right thing to do, to have a mature equal relationship in that regard, you know, to be held accountable in a relationship, to be kind of, you know, I'm sure she wouldn't have tolerated any, you know, infidelity or anything like that and be a grown up. So, he needs someone to, you know, be really motherly and Fay was just not into kids, which was another thing. Yeah. I always meet people, you know, once I went to Jeddah, to Saudi Arabia once, and I was surprised at how many people recognized me from the show and wanted to talk about it. I didn't know, but it was so funny because the show had just ended, and they all were so angry about how he dumped me and how we broke up. And I was like, wow, it even transcends, you know, all the way over here about how passionate people felt about him breaking up with me. But, he had to go on to, you know, he had to really learn. He needed like a couple more seasons to really discover who he was. So he had to go through a lot more.
Yeah, he had a few more relapses to go there in those last couple seasons. But I wish you could have seen the light earlier. I don't know. I think you were the one for him. But it's either way, it's an all-timer show. And I think you're right. It would have been too healthy. It would have been our average person, it would have been the healthy choice. But for Don Draper's character, he always has to, you know, he never learned. So, you know, you're right. I think it had to be that more bittersweet finale.
And she predicted it, you know, in the first season, my character, Faye Miller, says, don't worry, you know, you'll be married before the end of the year. Like, she already has his number. Like, he can't be alone. He's got to be kind of in that relationship. And she had figured it out when she says, you know, you only like the beginnings of things. To be with Faye would be like in a real relationship that would go on, that takes work, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had some great lines. I loved all the dialogue on that show.
Well, since you mentioned that, I was going to move on, but I got to unpack that real fast. What's your favorite line? You just mentioned it.
Oh, I love when she decides not to meet him for coffee. She's like knowing that she's going to, you know, people get together and they want to meet for coffee and have that breakup. And she's thinking, why am I going to do that? You know, and she says, well, I hope she knows you only like the beginnings of things.
Ooh, that's a burn, right? And so true for his character. Nice.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Good summary.
That's such a good one. All right, well, we can't let you go without mentioning your other iconic show that you started on with The Sopranos is Kelly Moltisanti. I believe you're Christopher's wife after, oh, God, Adriana's death.
Yeah,
after Adriana's whacking was, God, that's still one of the most haunting things that I've ever seen on TV. But memories of that role, and you know, when Christopher died, you know, when the car crash, Comfortably Numb's playing, and you know, Tony squeezes his nose, all of that. Afterwards, you know, it's almost like you intentionally played it as you're enjoying being the widow. Am I picking that up? You're not like overtly emotional and heartbroken. It's almost like, yes, now I get to wear the black mourning clothes. Am I reading that wrong?
There was something very presentational about that, right? Wearing the dark sunglasses and I mean, in the procession, I mean, I know it's sort of, there was a joke I remember in Italian families, I'm Italian, that the person who wails and cries the most at the wake is supposed to show their, you know, is the most sad, you know?
Right.
But I think part of that was for Tony's benefit, for his POV. You know, I think he was supposed to see her in a certain light, and, you know, kind of see her almost, you know, kind of holding it together. And I think the sunglasses was to sort of hide too much of the, you know, being distraught.
Absolutely. Well, shine a little on Michael Imperioli. You know, you're working off of him the most, but also just, God, James Gandolfini, rest in peace, Edie Falco. I mean, so many. God, that cast is just unbelievable. And even the writers and directors, Weiner went on to create Mad Men, you know. So, I mean, there's just so many. Do you view that as sort of the birth of, you know, the modern golden age of TV like so many of us do?
Yes, I agree. I think that was a watershed moment in TV that really changed how we viewed TV. And it was another show. Like, I also remember getting that call and like literally falling down and like crying. I couldn't believe I was going to be on that show. I was so sick to my stomach the night before. I didn't sleep. I was like, I was just trying to keep it together. When I met everyone calmed my nerves down and said, welcome to the family. And they were just the most welcoming, inviting group of people, because up until Stranger Things, I'd always been added to shows. So I was added to Sopranos at the end. I was added to Mad Men, to already existing hits. And it's kind of like, you know, transferring out of high school in your senior year. You never know how you're going to be accepted. Because I had joined shows in the past. And I would sometimes just find myself kind of lost watching them, because there's such, I mean, it's like I'm watching the most incredible actors here. And I'm in this house, and it was never lost on me an amazing experience and opportunity I was getting to have, and like what an education I was getting watching everybody as well. I feel like incredibly lucky that I'm on these shows. And every day I think, I don't know how it happened, but I'm really just delighted. And James Gandolfini was just, you know, he was the leader of that group, and he just made everyone feel like they were his peer. And there was never like a hierarchy about who was, you know, the star or anything like that. It was really a special, special time.
Awesome. Well, whether you're added, you know, late, like you said, with Sopranos and Mad Men, or you're there from the beginning, like Stranger Things, somehow you got the golden touch. That's three hit shows right there that we'll be talking about forever. What's next for you? You got anything else you're allowed to share of what else you're working on?
You know, this is the first hiatus I haven't been working on anything. I actually took some time off to write. I used to spend a lot of time, you know, I used to sell some scripts back in the day. So I just about to finish something I'm hoping to direct.
Really? What genre?
I would say it's a drama. Okay. Yeah. Not like a heavy drama, but sort of a loosely autobiographical period kind of thing.
Are we allowed to get a log line premise, or is it too early to share that?
You know, I'm just so bad at that I'll end up talking for like 10 minutes. I'm like the worst logline person. I'm like, and then 10 minutes later, you're like, cut it off.
It's impossible to boil that down. Well, because you have the whole script in your head. I've done it too. And you're just like, I can't pare this down to one sentence.
Some people are really good at that. And you know, hopefully we'll have another conversation, and you'll be like, here it is. Remember we talked about it, and we can talk more about it. That's what I've been spending my time doing. And, you know, my husband and I have a business we co-run called Liberty United. Liberty United. And we turn illegal guns into jewelry and pens and accessories, and money goes to education and to help victims of gun violence.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I spent time doing that, and taking care of my daughter with a broken leg.
Yeah, you mentioned that at the top. So I think we should let you get back to that. But break a leg in season 3. I had to do it. Break a leg in season 3 and take care of the daughter. I think you've been generous with your time. Thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, you asking some, your questions are great. It was really nice talking to you, Jason.
Thanks so much, Kara. You're great.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.